नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रभुतये श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नमः नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गोविन्द पुचारिणे नमस्ते शून्यवादी विष्णुतिरे सुतामिनि ॐ अज्ञानतिमिनन्दस्य जनार्जुनसुलभया चक्षुषुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapandantika. And the Kopatu is Jack, representing the Bahia, the Sahabatitanam, Babadeva, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described his preaching methodology because he was touring South India. He was going to go from Jagannath Puri all the way down to Setubandhu, the southernmost tip of India, Dhanushkoti, where the bow of Lord Shiva is, and where Ramachandra built the bridge to Lanka, and then he's going to come up again. So he's going to tour, and he's not going to go by fast jet plane, so he's going to walk. And when one walks, it will take many, many, many days. And each of those days, Mahaprabhu would stop at someone's house, beg some alms, please. It's called bhiksha or bhika. He would beg because he's a sannyasi in the society he was trained to support those who were renounced and dedicated to spiritual life so that they wouldn't have to work and have mundane jobs and have their attention pointed in so many different directions because society valued that a certain part of society, it was engendered, it was mixed into the culture, this ancient culture, that life had a purpose. Nowadays, that is not there. Of course, there are some people who are religious, but the culture isn't based on the purpose of life and guiding people to have a meaningful life in terms of their an eternal soul, and how they live in this life is going to determine their next life so that they should make some spiritual advancement, and there's a goal in life, and not waste your life, and just tarapadruvamartadam, use your life so that it is so valuable. So use it, even though it's temporary like all other lives, use the temporary thing to gain the eternal. That is so wonderful. What a wonderful concept. Use something that's temporary, which essentially has no value because it's temporary, to gain something of supreme value that's eternal. So that was the basic system. That was the mood in society. So it was seen the value of individuals who had the qualification of simply dedicating themselves to spiritual pursuits, to advance spiritually. That was seen as very valuable, most valuable thing. And these people, this is described in Rishabhdev Maharaj's teachings in the fifth chapter of the fifth canto, how these Brahminical people, they were like the head of society. Because what is the function of the head? Of course, it carries the hat, but it does more than that. The function of the head is intelligence. It sees, it hears. So many of the senses are located in the head. And then it guides the body through intelligence. So the Brahmins are compared to the head. And the people who just work, they're compared to the legs. And the warriors, the kshatriyas, are compared to the arms, the strong arms of the body. And the belly is the vaishyas, the mercantile people, because they provide food to keep the body healthy. So the Brahmins, in this analogy, compared to the head, they're supposed to guide society. What is their guidance based on? It is that they have studied Shastra, they have studied the the Vedas, the religious scriptures, and they know it, and they know what the conclusions are, and therefore they can guide people appropriately so that the people can make advancement. So today's society, as Prabhupada would say, it's a headless society. So if the society is like a person and it has no head, it's not going to make good decisions. It can't see what to do. It can't hear what to do. It cannot contemplate. It will make poor decisions. Andaya tandaya pamiya manaste pisa tantram urudam nivada. It is like the blind leading the blind. Prabhupada would very strongly criticize today's society, especially the leadership, because they think economics is everything. Economics, of course, are required, but it's not the purpose. The purpose of the economics, the finances, according to the Bhagavatam, is not sense gratification. It is to live a religious life, a spiritual life. So in any case, society saw the value of these people who are renounced, such as the sannyasis, as Mahaprabhu was displaying. So people who renounce from material endeavors and all of their life's energy was centered on spiritual advancement. So the people didn't think that was selfish, and the people in general in the society didn't think that it was useless, because it wasn't selfish, because the presence of these people, they would offer guidance for the rest of the society. Satsanga Tyagi Vaisavachar. Thinking of another verse. Dwaramahu Mahant Ste Dwaramahu Vamukte Mahatsevam. It's by serving these great souls that one actually makes advancement. So Mahaprabhu went to this Koma Brahmana's house. He was in Kumachetra, the village in South India, and in Andhra Pradesh, and he was so, the Brahmin named Komo, he was so taken aback, he was so struck by the powerful presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was from a wealthy family and he had happiness at home, he wanted to leave, practically speaking. Because in the presence of the sun, the glowworm of our happiness seems so insignificant in the presence of the sun. In that when it's dark at night, then the glowworm seems to be powerful. But when it's daytime, the glowworm is not even noticeable, so insignificant. So Mahaprabhu was like the sun, and his presence made the glowworm of this Brahmin's happiness appeared so insignificant. So he immediately wanted to go with Mahaprabhu. He felt that this is what he had been longing for his whole life, for so many lives. And Mahaprabhu said, no, don't speak like this, that you want to go. What you should do, and he gave him some instructions, how to live a spiritually centered life without running away from home. He said that you should Yaridega Tarikaha Krishna Pradesh, you should study the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, you should chant Hare Krishna Narantara. What does Narantara mean?
Continuously.
Nir Antar. Without stopping. You should focus your mind on the spiritual path. You should hear the Shastra. You should act in a pure way. And you should tell others. And then you'll be doing so much service by helping others. And this will also turn your house into the spiritual world. And you will be satisfied. And not only that, the Kabuna Vidibe Tomara Vishaya Taranga Punara Pi Etani, from in this very place, Purana Api, you'll see me again, Mora Sangha, you'll get my association. So this is the actual effect of living a life like this as a householder, is that one will associate with the Supreme Lord by the chanting of the holy names, by the studying of the Shastra, by speaking Krishna's words. And that is true satisfaction for the soul. Otherwise, life is just a continuous stream of thinking that if only I had that, and it's my real happiness, the heart's happiness, is just around the corner. It is just over that hill over there, and if I can just climb that hill. I remember one time I was in Badrinath, and there was a little hill in the distance that had snow on top of it. And I was with my guru, had my son. And we said, let us just walk over to that little hill that had snow on top of it. And that little hill was so far away, and it was actually very, very big. But in the distance, it seems like it was a real endeavor to get there. So that's what we think in this life, that just only if I got over this little hill, then the difficulties will all be finished and my unhappiness will be vanished like the fog in with the rays of the sun. But those little hills, what we want to achieve, end up taking our whole life, and still they don't bring us the happiness we desire, the soul's satisfaction. So what to do? So association with Krishna is the point, associating with Mahaprabhu, that gives something on a much deeper level, some deep nourishment on the soul level, on the level of who I am. So Mahaprabhu said, if you perform these activities, no need to run away from home, but instead you make your home into the spiritual world by following this simple process. So what were the elements of the process? Who remembers one of them?
Chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes, very good. Chanting Hare Krishna. Narantara. Continuously, if one can, or regularly at least. Another one? Yeah, Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially if you can do that with the family members together, it's so nice. And then you can invite some friends sometimes, it's so nice. Chanting Hare Krishna, kirtan and japa, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita.
Avoid
sinful activities. Talk to your friends and relatives about Krishna consciousness, unless they don't like you because of it. I remember there was one devotee who used to live in Melbourne, and then he became a devotee in Melbourne, and then he moved back to Delhi. And then his friends were there, his old friends. But he had changed, and there was nothing to talk to them about. So he got some advice, good advice, because he used to be a spin bowler, cricket player. So he got some advice that you put your old trophies out there, at least you'll have something sort of innocent to talk about. Oh yes, cricket this, cricket that. Otherwise it was very uncomfortable. There's nothing to talk to, no interest. He even said, Mahaprabhu was an Amara Agyaya, on my order, you become a spiritual master. Amara Agyaya Guru Hoy Tare Desh. And you deliver all the people. And this was Mahaprabhu's own example when he was a householder. That's when he started the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement in his house. It was like neighborhood preaching. If you follow this, Puranapi Etani Pabe, you will be able to get my association. This is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explained here very nicely. And Prabhupada explains the same thing in the purport. And you'll be free from the contaminations of material life. So this is how Mahaprabhu would preach. It is explained in detail when he went to the house of the Brahmin in Kumaratsetra. And then... So this is how he preached everywhere he went. So many nights he stopped, and so many places he stopped, people's houses he stopped. And in each house, this is what he told them, and he changed their hearts by his potent influence. So thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain at night in one place, and the next morning after bathing, he would start again. So what do you think that would do to you? If you walked from one place and then when it was getting dark or something, then you'd come to a village and beg if you could have a little prasadam in some place to stay. And then the next morning, as soon as the sun would rise, you'd bathe and then leave again. What do you think that would do?
It would make you very detached.
It would make you very detached. Why? Why would it make you detached?
You're not living anywhere, are you? You're moving all the time.
Yeah.
You can't settle down. You can't make plans to settle down. You're constantly on the move.
Yeah, and you can't have a favorite soft chair.
This isn't my spot.
Good. What else? What other effect would it have? In what other sense would it make you detached?
Fully dependent on Krishna.
Yeah. To make you dependent on Krishna. Because some days you'd have this, some days someone would cook the way you like, some days the people would cook not the way you like, and some days this, some days that, some days this. Sometimes it would be raining a little bit, sometimes it would be very hot. And you'd say, okay, Krishna, whatever. And also you wouldn't have any protection other than Krishna. Learn to depend on Krishna. What else?
Humbling.
Humbling, yeah. Very humbling. Sometimes you knock on someone's door and say, can I? And then, no, go away. And then say, oh, yes, you, as long as you don't steal anything. And he says, okay. How else?
It would be favorable for an internal life, active internal life.
Yeah. What else? It would make you detached, as Chris said, because you couldn't control your environment. And in what other way would it make you detached? Just imagine if everything that you want, that you'd have to carry all your possessions with you, physically carry them with you. Now, what would naturally happen to the possessions that you would take with you? They would be very small number because you'd have to carry them. You couldn't take your piano. You couldn't take... couldn't take anything practically. You have to carry it with you. All they would take is all these great mendicants. They would have one set of clothes and a second set of clothes. That's all. And a water pot and some rope or something. They would chant on their hands. That was all. Dependent on Krishna for everything else. Amazing, yes. You'd have to be so detached and renounced, but how free you would feel because you weren't dependent on anything or anyone. You'd feel so free, such an exalted feeling. There's one devotee I knew, now he's passed away, but a very unique person. His name was Yadu something, but everyone would call him Yadu. And many years ago when we were first teaching in Bhagavad Gita, he came and attended the classes, but then he really wanted to study deeply. This was like in 1987 that I knew him. And then, so he said, I will study for 10 years and then I will go and preach. So he studied Sanskrit very, very deeply. And he could read all the shastras, he could speak Sanskrit, and then he had a very, very well-trained mind, disciplined mind. So he would study this, and he studied Sadarshan, all the different philosophical systems, and then he studied astrology, and he studied this shastra and that shastra, and anywhere where he thought there was some knowledge to that would help, he would study and study and study. And then at some point, he started just wandering in Vrindavan, just to see if Krishna would protect him. And of course, Krishna, with nothing. And someone would give him a ride to this place, and then he'd sleep in their place, and he would sleep in that place, and he would eat here. Didn't carry anything with him, maybe a shoulder bag or something like that. And then, this was after he stayed 10, 15 years, even more. And then at some point, he studied everything that he wanted to study, and his conclusion was that I should chant Hare Krishna. So after studying everything, he studied all the commentaries of the acharyas, everything. And he stayed with different scholars, and he spoke fluent Hindi and Spanish and this and that. So he concluded that he should chant Hare Krishna, and that was the essence of everything. So then there was a while he wandered in South India too, just with nothing. because in Vrindavan it's sort of easy because they support sadhus there. It's part of the culture. And then he wandered in South India, and then he told one of my friends, he said, when you want to be detached in this way, you only carry what you exactly need at that moment. And if someone offers you one box of matches and you don't need it right now, you don't take it. So much trust that Krishna was going to take care of him. And at some point he went back to his country. He was from Costa Rica, preach. He actually took sannyas and went back to his country to speak and to preach, and he was chanting 120, 130 rounds a day. I think it was 130 rounds approximately every day. And then very soon after that, he passed. So who can understand Krishna's plan? But in any case, this is the freedom of a great renunciant. If someone even offers you one book of matches and you don't need it, it's not 100% essential for you at this point, don't take it. So Mahaprabhu would just travel with two pairs of cloth, water pot, Krishna would protect. So therefore, as soon as he left, he explained what his mood was going to be by chanting those verses, Krishna, 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 Pahiman. It's you, Krishna, who is the protector. You, who is the maintainer. Krishna, Rama, Raghava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahiman, Raksama. And then in that way, freedom from anxiety. And usually, because we don't have that much faith, we gather things. And the more we gather, thinking the more I have, the less anxiety I'm going to be. And it's just the opposite. The more we gather, the more anxiety we're going to have, especially if you become extremely, extremely, extremely wealthy. Then you're in so much anxiety because everyone is looking at you with crooked eyes. And no matter who smiles at you, you know what's in their mind. Because that's interesting. In your money, and you can't trust anyone. And complete anxiety. You have to have 50 alarms and 70 dogs around your house to protect you. And,
something caught my attention today is the 50 top billionaires in the world, and I was flicking through them, looking at who they were and which country they're from, and I started feeling empty, like I was lacking something. I was thinking, oh, look at all these people, how much money they've got, and they must have so much power and opulence, and I felt
I'm not a friend in the world.
Now you put it into perspective, actually.
Well, what do you think, what's your experience
with having things?
Well, just, did you ever have experiences when you were just depending on Krishna and then you saw that, in fact, he was taking care of you?
I don't know if I've ever been so.
But at least for an hour or something. You were distributing books, yes?
Yeah, sure.
So did that happen to you? You saw that Krishna was actually taking care of things?
Yeah, when you just start praying and becoming detached from the results and thinking that, oh, I'm going to try so hard, and just think, well, whatever happens is up to Krishna. I'm just going to try to distribute this book and we'll see what happens. And then, you have ecstatic experience.
Just imagine if you had nothing but Krishna, Krishna's mercy. You were holding on Krishna so tightly because that's all you had. He was all you had. No. So that's what this Etansa Staya Paratmanistama will cross over the ocean of material existence. By holding on tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the path that Mahasabhis, the Purvatamar Mahasabhi, this is the path that's always been followed in the path. Aham Tadishyami, I will cross over. Tarantyaparam Tamo Makundangri, by holding on to the lotus feet of Krishna in service. The same. Then it's freedom from anxiety. Otherwise, we make our arrangements to free ourselves from anxiety, but they end up causing us more anxiety. This is the path. So Mahaprabhu was showing how to act on that path. So we think, well, I can't do that. But we really should learn how to depend on Krishna, because at the time of death, what are we going to do? What will we do at that time? If we haven't developed the art and the trust in Krishna, what will we do? What will we pull out that will save us? We'll be self-frightened. And each of the things that we hold on to will show themselves just to be like little pieces of straw, not having any value at all. So, did I interrupt you? You were about to say something? Oh, you're 50 billionaires.
I was going to ask the question.
Yeah.
In regards to surrendering to Krishna.
Yeah.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, so he could just travel and preach. But what about one for who's perhaps a householder?
Well, what did he tell him to do? A householder. He said, don't imitate a sannyasi. I'll show you how to be a householder and get the association of Krishna. So, but the essence is the same. But what a household has to do is depend on Krishna and surrender. Krishna, while surrounded by the elements of householder life, while sannyasi, he has no choice. But same principle, same challenge. As we go through our life, everyone has certain abilities and opulences. So Kunti Devi has described them as Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta Shri. Four things. There's birth, so I know this person, I know that person, I'm born in a good family, this, that. Then Janma, Aishwarya, my wealth, Shuta, my learning, and my beauty. So we use these four things, whatever little or much we have of these four things, to manipulate our way through life. We use our intelligence, we use our influence, we use our money, we use our learning to get us what we want in life. But at certain points in life, everything fails. And then you find yourself, because we identify with those things. This is me. I'm the one who can do this. I'm the one who can do that. I'm the one who can do that. And then everything fails, and then you end up not knowing who you are. They call that midlife crisis. Everything that you used up to now to forge your way through material existence fails you. And then there's a feeling of loss of identity because those things weren't really you. What was your question?
Well, yes,
you asked about the householder.
Dependence on Krishna.
It's the soul that has that issue, the conditioned soul. So it doesn't really have any difference what situation the soul is in. That's the issue.
So
one could ask the question, who's the one who is really fortunate? Who is the... Is it the person who is surrounded by so many things that he's always... When you have a... If you're a billionaire, can you leave the door of your house open? If you do, there'll be more than bugs that get in. There's so much fear. Let me continue, because I wanted to read one other part. So when he left. So every place he went, he did this. Then when he left the Brahmin Kom, now how do you think the Kom of the Brahmin felt when Mahaprabhu left? He followed him, even though he said, stay at home. He followed him. Why did he follow him? Because how could he not follow him? Mahaprabhu was leaving. But eventually, Lord Chaitanya took care to send him back home. So he very gently sent him back home, very carefully. Jatokori Gari to his home. He sent him home. There was also another Brahmin in that town of Kurukshetra. You know what his name was? That other Brahmin? No? His name was Vasudev. Now, do you know what his name was?
Yes.
What was it?
Vasudev.
Very good. And he was a great person. He was a Mahatma, actually, Mahashai. But he had leprosy. Did you ever see anyone with leprosy? No? Yes? No? Hmm?
Must be annoying.
Did you ever see anyone with leprosy?
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
So much suffering. So he was a great soul, but he had this terrible disease. Indeed, his body was filled with worms. I mean, the thought of having worms live in your body, you can't think of it almost. But although suffering from leprosy means he was suffering. When Vasudev, the Brahmin, was very enlightened, he didn't think he was the body. He thought the body was like a house, and I'm the soul living in the house of my body. So as soon as one worm fell from his body, he would pick it up and place it back again in the same location so the worm wouldn't feel like he was away from home, so he'd have some place to live. So that's inconceivable for us. So he was already a great soul. Then one night, Vasudev heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived in Kurukshetra. So the next morning, he went to see the Lord in the house of Korma. naturally he was a great soul, and he heard this wonderful person that's coming. He's so powerful. But when the leper Vasudev came to Korma's house to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was informed that the Lord had already left. The great person is there, and you go to see him, and he's already gone. And Vasudev had so much, had such a strong desire in his heart to see Mahaprabhu, that as soon as he heard that Mahaprabhu was left, he fainted. On the ground, he went unconscious in his unhappiness. Bhumate Padili fell to the ground. Dukhe Mochila, unhappy, miserable, unconscious. When Vasudev, the leper, was lamenting, "Oh, I won't be able to see Mahaprabhu. He's gone. He was lamenting. Due to not being able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately returned to that spot. So just imagine this. He had hope, unlimited hope, then unlimited misery. Then what is the use of my life? He went unconscious. And then Mahaprabhu came. And then just... And then what did Mahaprabhu do? Because he was so... It all had to do with Mahaprabhu. He was hoping to see Mahaprabhu. He was so disappointed when he couldn't see Mahaprabhu. So he had, and then he was ecstatic when Mahaprabhu came back. So it all had to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His consciousness was focused on him. So then, because he was such a great soul, Mahaprabhu returned there and embraced him. He was a leper, and he embraced him, and leprosy is a contagious disease. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and his distress went to a distant place. What does that mean? What does a distant place mean?
Like went away.
Did it go away near or did it go away far?
Far.
Far, 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 far away to a distant place. Say you're in Perth now. What's a distant place? What's an example of a distant place? Don't tell him the answer. We want to. Usually it's the mothers who are doing that. But if Mataji was sitting there, she would be... What's an example of a distant place from Perth? No, don't say it. Just be patient. Please. What's an example of a distant place? Name a city that's far away from Perth. Yes, very good. Sydney's thousands of miles away from Perth. Do you know any place that's further away than Sydney?
Canberra?
I don't know. I don't know my geography well enough to know if that's closer or further. But even further away than that, in a different country. Do you know the name of any cities in a different country?
New York?
Yes. You have picked up the right city. Yes, New York. So his distress went all the way to New York, even though he was sitting in India. It went so far away to a distant place. So that means he was happy. He had no more unhappiness. And then his body became very beautiful to his great happiness. The Brahmin Vasudeva was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam as he touched the Lord's lotus feet. Kvaham daridra papiyan kva krishna sri naketana brahma banduritasmaham babubhyam parirambitaha. This verse was spoken by Sudama Brahmana when he went to meet Krishna. He was so poor. He didn't have any food. He didn't have proper clothing. And then when Krishna saw them, he embraced them. And he said this verse. He said, "Who am I? I'm a Brahma Bandhu. I'm not actually a Brahmana. I'm like the friend of a Brahmana, but not a Brahmana itself. And who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full of all opulences. Nonetheless, despite of me being so low and him being so great, he embraced me with his two arms." That's a verse that Sudama the Brahmin said. And then the Brahmin Vasudev continued, "Oh, my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was meek. Meek means like humble, shy. He was meek and humble. The Brahman Vasudev, he worried, he began to worry. Now I have because before no one would ever talk to me, everyone ran the opposite direction when I walked down the road, but now I'm beautiful, I've been cured, and he became afraid that he will become proud after being cured by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him some advice to protect him from getting proud. Now, one may think that why would the Brahmin get proud? He didn't do anything. It was Mahaprabhu's mercy. So why would he get proud? He got some special benediction from Mahaprabhu. And the answer is, well, why do we get proud? Because we just have some mercy from Krishna. Whatever we have is just Krishna's gift. And in one second, he could take it away. So pride makes no sense, actually. It makes no sense to be proud. But yet everyone is proud. In Kali Yuga, even a pauper is proud of his penny. What does that mean? What is the meaning of that?
Any little talent or anything you've got, you're
any
proud.
Any little positive thing.
Any tiny positive thing, you're proud of that.
And despite so many other faults.
Yeah.
Maya is very powerful. So he became worried that I'm going to become proud. And Mahaprabhu gave him some advice. And if he followed this advice, he would never become unnecessarily proud. He said, Narantara kahatume Krishna Krishna nam. You continuously chant Krishna's name. Krishna 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 nam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Purport. Although Vasudev Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, what was the advice that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him so he wouldn't become proud?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, how often? One time?
Continuously.
Yes, very good. And what other advice did he give him? Preach about Krishna. Talk to other people about Krishna. Tell them what you have realized about Krishna. And thus liberate living entities. And then if you do that, he just told them two things. Just chant Hare Krishna and preach. He used the word Krishna Upadesh Kari Jiva Nistar. Just give people the Krishna Upadesh, the instructions that Krishna has spoken or about Krishna. Just do that and you will liberate others, and Krishna will very soon accept you as his devotee. This is the process. Oh yeah, the only return. Although Vasudeva Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him. The only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudeva preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all living beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from a very abominable condition. But now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cult of Krishna consciousness. They're not only cured of the disease called materialism, but they are also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work, following the advice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. So the same instructions he gave to Vasudeva the leper and Korma the Brahmin. After thus instructing the Brahmin Vasudeva in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? If you don't know, you can say, I don't know. Sometimes it's very hard to say those words. Do you know what he did? He disappeared. He was gone. He disappeared from that place. Then the two Brahmins, Korma and Vasudev, they embraced one another and they began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus I have described. Why did they cry? Do you sometimes cry? Huh? Do you cry when you're unhappy or you're happy?
Unhappy.
Huh? But they were crying. They were unhappy that Mahaprabhu left, but they were crying because also they were happy because they had the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were feeling this mixture of happiness and sadness, so they cried. Thus I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reclaimed the leper Vasudev and also received the name Vasudev Amrita Prada. Thus I end my description of the first tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his visiting the temple of Korma and his liberating the leper Brahmana Vasudev. Now here's what is called Falshruti. That if you have heard this, there's a benediction that's coming. Shraddha kori e lila ye kore shravana. One who hears these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great faith will surely very soon attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Any questions? Oh, there's only three more verses and I should read them. Kaviraj Goswami continues. I admit that I do not know the beginning or the end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouths of great personalities. Oh, devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. What do you think of this?
It's a nice, sweet story and it's inspirational.
Yeah. Do you feel happy?
Yeah. I liked how Sri Chaitanya, although he was very close to his devotees, he, for a higher mission, for an important mission, he managed to be detached and go for it.
It says there's, you remember that was one verse before he left. It said when he left the devotees from Puri, when he left them behind, he seemed like he was hard and walked away from them. He was detached, but actually he missed them so much and he was feeling so sad when he missed their association, when he wasn't in their association. When you go to school, do you miss your parents? When you are playing with your friends, do you miss your parents? Not so much. Yeah, of course. And how old are you now? I think you told me last time. 7, 8? Yeah, 8. Who's the strongest boy in your class? Are you the tallest? Good. Okay, any questions or comments? Did you have a...
Yes, please. What's the meaning of the leper becoming beautiful when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him?
Well, Prabhupada, actually, I think you might say it in the purport or something. Why did he make him beautiful? Why didn't he? Because his, first of all, we could say it's his mercy. And second, we could say that because the person who we are is naturally beautiful. So by Mahaprabhu's mercy, who he really was really came out. It's natural to be beautiful. Just think, everyone, Goloka Vrindavan is beautiful. Why? It doesn't say it in the purport. It's natural. Anyway, he just decided to make them beautiful. Any other questions?
At times we feel chanting is going to be very difficult to pronounce. So, any hints to improve our chanting?
Well, you mean improve the quantity or the quality?
Both.
But you were saying, it sounded like you sometimes get an anxiety about completing your rounds. That means quantity, because you're working.
And sometimes we feel not doing it, actually, but you're doing it.
Is it too difficult for you?
And sometimes it feels very difficult for
me. Yeah. How many rounds do you chant every day?
I was doing like 8 rounds before, but I am not doing it, able to do it regularly, so I'm just reducing the rounds.
So how many are you doing every day?
4 rounds.
Okay, do you do 4 rounds a day?
Yeah, 2 plus 2, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
2. Is that difficult for you?
Sometimes I feel very tough to concentrate. I just used to close my eyes and keep doing it.
But you shouldn't go below 4. So become strong on that. And don't go up until you have confidence and desire. So don't try to chant more and more and more but not be able to do it and be in anxiety and not want to do it really. And so go for quality at this time. So you need some time alone to do it. How long does it take you to chant 2 rounds?
Takes like 20 minutes.
Okay.
15 to 20 minutes.
So can you do that?
So,
can you do that? To
yeah,
access,
yeah, yeah.
But when you're tired, it sometimes you don't feel like doing it, yeah?
Sometimes I feel not doing it, actually.
Okay, so why would you do it?
I get it.
Why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know why I'm not able to do it.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Sometimes you don't feel like doing it.
Okay, you don't feel like it, you're tired.
Yeah.
Okay, what's on the other side? Why would you do it?
Yeah, when I finish it, I have a lot of peace of mind.
Okay, it gives you peace of mind.
Maybe very calm, and I'm able to think clearly and all those things.
That's a good reason to do it, isn't it? But also I would add to that, because you will be pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes when you have love for the members of your family, you do things for their pleasure, even though you may not feel like it, yes? Out of appreciation. Say your mother and your father. So you have appreciation for all the things that they've done for you in your life. When you were just a little boy, they took care of you. So out of appreciation now, appreciation and affection, you do things for their pleasure. So similarly, Krishna has done so many things for you in your life. So do something for Krishna's pleasure, whether you feel like it or not, and try to do it nicely. So chant not because it makes you feel better, but because it's pleasing to Krishna. If you chant his names in a concentrated, serious, honest, appreciative way, it's what I would suggest. But don't do more than you can do practically, but try to go for quality.
Okay.
And if you don't, if you can't concentrate all the time, well, just join the rest of us in that. It's not easy to. You can't concentrate all the time unless you love Krishna. Then it's natural and spontaneous. Until then, it's a struggle. So if you struggle to chant with some affection, for Krishna appreciation, Krishna appreciates that you're trying the attempt. But don't go below four. Don't go below four rounds.
Okay.
And how many do you chant every day?
One round.
You chant one round every day? Really? That's wonderful. Is it difficult for you? And do you try to concentrate, or do you try to hear the mantra, or do you just move the beads? Huh? Sometimes you move them just... Yeah? Try to do it the other way when you try to... Call Krishna. If you call to Krishna, one day he'll answer you. But you have to be serious. Okay. Hare Krishna. So Saturday, Krishna willing, we shall sit together again. Will you come on Saturday, or are you too busy? You don't know. Anyway, if you can, you're welcome.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
I must be coming.
You're welcome if you can come. If you have time and you're not too busy, you can come. We're happy. Okay? Srimad Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Kama Brahmana ki jai. Vasudeva Brahmana ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti ki jai.